Amen. And throughout Ephesians 6, 11 through 18, he says four different times, he says, stand therefore, or stand, or withstand the devil. See, you and I in spiritual warfare, we are making a stand against the deceitfulness, the lies of the enemy. And we've talked about this over the past several weeks. If you get online, you'll be able to see all the other sessions in this series, and I encourage you to do that. Last week we had John Perminsky. How many of you are here for John Perminsky? What a great word. I mean, so encouraging. It was great to have John with us. But the week before that, I should say, we looked at the belt of truth, which is one of the pieces of armor. Ephesians 6:14, it says, stand therefore, having girded your waist with the truth. And we made this comment. There's a lot of Christians, I think, trying to fight a spiritual battle, and their pants are down. I mean, and really, so we need to realize that it's the Word of God that holds our spiritual pants up, so to speak. And so really, if we're going to win in spiritual warfare, we have got to know the Word of God. We looked at the fact that it says in Psalm 119, 130, the entrance of your words give light and gives understanding to the simple. So we wrestle with darkness and wickedness, the Bible says, in heavenly places. And so the truth of God's word is what expels darkness and starts to bring light in areas of our life. I mean, so many times we can have an area of revelation in our lives, but then we don't have that same revelation somewhere else. For instance, you might know very well that you're saved, you're born again by not your own acts, but by the righteous acts of Jesus. But maybe you don't know what the word says about finances. Maybe you don't know what the word says about healing. And so it's really important that we start to learn what the word says so that we can really start to bring light into whatever area it is. And we realize that the more truth that we receive, the more victory that we'll see manifest in our life, because it is the truth of God's word that sets us free. It says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God are in him, yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Now this morning I want to spend a little bit of time talking about the next piece of armor that the Bible mentions in these few verses, and that's the breastplate of righteousness. Ephesians 6:15. He says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate is something that protects our heart, all right? Remember, Paul was looking at a Roman soldier when he wrote these verses, and so he was taking pieces of the armor and then relating it to our spiritual weaponry. And here, the breastplate of righteousness really is something, I believe, that protects our heart. And listen, if you think about just in the natural, if you get stabbed in the heart, guess what? You are going to die. Does that make sense? It's true not only naturally, but also spiritually. And the devil really wants to try and get to our heart and shut down our faith, all right? Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the issues of life. In the Revised Standard Version, it says, keep your heart with all vigilance. We looked at that a little bit on Wednesday. I would encourage you, if you weren't here Wednesday night, get online and listen to that portion of that series. But he says to keep your heart with vigilance. Think about that word. You and I have got to fight to keep our hearts. I'm telling you, we're in the process. I'm in the process of preparing our next series that I'm really just going to title Idol, I believe. Looking at the different things in our lives that can really become idols. And what happens is our heart really gets infected with something. It could be something that we turn to for support. It could be money. It could be sex. It could be alcohol, drugs, whatever. You know, we have so many things that really can steal our faith. All right. Remember, Christianity is not about a bunch of works, but when we start to allow idols in our heart to start to really infect our heart, we're really in trouble. And so the Bible tells us to fight for our heart with vigilance to keep our hearts pure. And remember, it's more than just memorizing scripture. I mean, memorizing scripture is extremely important, and we think that's good. But if you just memorize scripture and you don't allow it to get inside and allow Jesus to transform your heart. Jesus said this, remember the Pharisees of his time, he said, you know the word, you read it daily and it speaks of me, yet you don't see me, you don't know me, you don't know who I am. And so it's more than just the word, it's allowing the word through meditation to start to really change our hearts. It says in Jeremiah and some other places prophesying about the work of Jesus Christ, which would be that he would take our heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh. And so he wants to give us a heart that is full of his promises, something that's been transformed by his spirit and by his word. 1 John 3:21. He says, beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence toward God. Listen, when our hearts condemn ourselves, it's hard for us to have the confidence that we need to have to be able to engage effectively in spiritual warfare. I mean, the enemy could come and say, well, you call yourself a Christian. You just did this and you just did that and you just said that. And he'll come and he'll try to make us feel like we're not righteous. Remember, this is the breastplate of what? Righteousness. And he'll come and he'll try to infect that heart. He'll try to steal that seed. That's the way Jesus put it when the word was sown, that the devil comes immediately and tries to steal the seed that was sown. He may say, you're such a hypocrite. Look at your lifestyle. Listen, your righteousness is not based on how good you are. How many know that? You didn't get it. You can't keep it. It's based on Jesus Christ. And he's working in us to will and do his good pleasure, giving us a desire and the power to do the things that please him. It says without faith, it's impossible to please him. So we're walking this out by faith, and Jesus is transforming our hearts. But we cannot let the enemy get in and start to infect us. He may say, you're a lousy Christian. You haven't fasted enough. You haven't prayed enough. You haven't read your Bible enough. It's always something that we have or have not done. The devil will come in. So when you start to feel that, you know very well, the Bible tells us to not be ignorant of the devices of the enemy. And he'll come in and say, well, you're this and you're that and you didn't do this. And I'm going to tell you, listen, that is not the Spirit of God doing that. That is the enemy coming in trying to deceive you. You remember all the way back in the Garden of Eden, where the enemy came and tempted Adam and Eve. He said, did God say? He will always question that seed that was sown. He'll always question that word. He'll always try to get you to do something. Remember, he said, if you eat of this fruit, you'll be what? More like God. He'll try to get us to think that by our actions, we'll be more like God. And so when we start to have those kinds of thoughts, we can be well assured that it's the enemy attacking us, trying to really get in and to destroy our hearts towards God, towards other people. The Bible says that, really, that if we say we love God who we don't see and don't love our brother who we do see, that we're not telling the truth or we're liars and the truth is not in us. And so, really, the love of God and love towards people and ourselves is so important. And really, that's a heart issue. It's a heart issue. So allowing God to really continue to shape our hearts. Romans 5:17, look what it says. It says, for if by the one man's offense death reigned through the one, speaking of Adam, he says, much more those who received abundance of grace and the righteous gift will reign in life through the one, say the one, Christ Jesus. And so he's saying here, for if by one man offense, Adam, if we've all sinned in Adam, which we have, that's what the Bible teaches, then even more so by the righteous act or gift of Jesus Christ, we are made righteous. Listen, we are not made righteous by our actions. It's something that Jesus has done. And by believing in him, you and I are made righteous. And so when the enemy comes and tries to attack our heart and tries to mess us up, we have got to remind ourselves. We've got to just meditate on this and the word of God. I mean, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21 is a great scripture to have in your arsenal. If you want to write that down, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. Realizing that you've been made righteous, not by your own works, but by the works of Jesus Christ. The one we just shared out of Romans is another good one. When we realize that we're righteous, listen, sin is destroyed in our lives. That's what the Bible teaches. 1 Corinthians 15:34, he says, awake from your drunken stupor and return to sober sense and your right minds and sin no more. For some of you have not the knowledge of God. You're utterly and willfully and disgracefully ignorant. How many don't want to be utterly, willfully, and disgracefully ignorant? All right. He says, and continue to be so, lacking the sense, listen to this, of God's presence and all true knowledge of him. I say this to your shame. And so what he's really telling us here is to awake and to realize that it's God's presence and the truth of the knowledge of him that really makes us righteous. So he's saying, don't be ignorant. Realize that Jesus has made us righteous. When we're filled with the knowledge of God, we live righteously. When we lack the knowledge or the power of grace, we live with really a sin consciousness, trying to do good works. And you'll see this so many times. I mean, in so many, really in Christian circles, sorry to say, but so many denominations, and so many times we're trying. I mean, you'll see times where people come to the altar and just continually want prayer for the same thing, continually come forward and say, well, you know, maybe raise their hand to get saved again and all these things. Listen, once you believe on Jesus, you are saved. And the Bible tells us in 1 Peter that it's through the knowledge of him that we grow in the faith that he's given us. We grow in the grace that he's given us. So the knowledge of that grace is the power that sets us free to be able to live sinless lives. It's meditating on the fact that really God has made us priests and kings in the kingdom of heaven. and that there's nothing that can take your righteousness away. John 16:8, Jesus said this, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment because the ruler of this world is judged." And so really what Jesus is saying here, look, the Holy Spirit will come, that's who he's talking about here, is the Holy Spirit, and convict the world of sin. We need to know that we have a Savior. That's where we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Matter of fact, Isaiah 64:6, it says that our righteousness is as filthy rags. We need to be saved. But then he says he convicts us of righteousness. What happens is he says, "I've made you as righteous as myself." But then he says, of judgment, because this ruler of this world has been judged. So he's showing us here, look, we need a Savior, but Jesus has made us righteous, and the devil has been defeated. And listen, you and I have got to remind ourselves that when the enemy comes in and starts to try and infect our heart, starts to try and steal what God has given to us, the gift that he's given us. Because again, if he can get you in the heart, he has got your faith. Because out of your heart flow the issues of life. So the Bible tells us to fight for it vigilantly. See, the Holy Spirit is not a fault finder. He doesn't run around saying, well, you didn't do this and you didn't do that. The Holy Spirit is coming along. Jesus taught this, that the Holy Spirit was one like him, like Jesus, who would come alongside. The parakletos is the word. It means to come alongside and to guide us and to lead us and to teach us and to really help us live this life. And so he's not coming. I mean, there's times he'll bring correction, but listen, he's not coming and he's not beating us. He's not saying, you did this wrong. You did that wrong. You need to get saved. That is not what the Holy Spirit does. Holy Spirit comes and reminds us of what the Lord has done in our lives. It says in John 6:63, one of my favorite scriptures, we don't have it to show you, it's not in the notes, but John 6:63, Jesus said that it's the Spirit. The flesh profits nothing, but it's the Spirit that brings life. And so the words, he said, that I speak are Spirit and life. And so it's the Word of God that brings life into our lives. Philippians 3:9, he says, to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but which is through faith, say through faith, in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Listen, once you've been righteous, made righteous, you can't be made unrighteous. Our righteousness doesn't come from us and we can't keep it. Even though we can't lose our righteousness, what the enemy can do is he can really come and we can lose our consciousness of it. Let me put it that way. You can't lose it, but you can start to not think that you're righteous. That's what he'll do. And when you start to think you're not righteous, when you start to think that you're not God's favorite, by the way, you should just believe that. You should believe that you're God's favorite, all right? You'd be wrong, though, because I'm God's favorite. So, and you should believe that, too. Don't let the enemy lie to you. Believe that you are God's favorite. Because the enemy wants to make you think that you're not. And listen, if he can convince you that you're not, you'll think you're not. You'll be depressed. You'll be oppressed. And the devil loves to make us feel that way. And so he'll come and he'll try to make you feel heavy. He'll give you, ever heard the term, heavy heart. He'll start to make you feel like you're worthless. Start to make you feel like you're not good enough. The gospel sets us free from depression and oppression. Isaiah 54:14. He says, in righteousness you shall be established. You shall be far from oppression, for you shall not fear. See, the Bible tells us that God takes our oppression away in Christ Jesus. Acts 10:38, he says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, who went up with Holy Spirit and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For what? God was with him. Now, Jesus healed people from a multitude of different things. He extended kindness, grace, and forgiveness to a multitude of different people. But what he did in all of those instances is that he set free those who were oppressed of the devil. Because the devil wants to separate us from God. Again, we go right back to the Garden of Eden. You, did God really say this? Question the word and then say, you'll be more like God if you do. See, so he'll come in and he'll try to oppress us. He'll try to depress us. He'll try to make us feel like we're not good enough. He'll try to get us to question our righteousness, which is from God. But it says in Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. It says, this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and what? Their righteousness is from me. Who will condemn it? You will. Say, I will. Say, I will. And so when those thoughts start to come in, you could take this scripture right here and say, my righteousness is from God. And so right now, I come against every attack of the enemy. I come against every voice that tries to make me think that I am not righteous by the act of Jesus Christ. Regardless of your sin, regardless of the things you thought or didn't think, it's based on Jesus Christ. Remind yourselves that you're as righteous as God. 1 Corinthians 5:21. Amen? The next part of our next weapon that the Bible talks about is the gospel of peace. Ephesians 6:15, he says, stand therefore, having shod your feet with the preparation of what? The gospel of peace. And really, this is about remaining in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, believing that we're righteous, guarding our heart from the attacks of the enemy, encouraging ourselves by the word of God, which give us life and light and understanding. But he says here to stand having our feet shod or wearing the gospel of peace. John 14:27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus is giving us his peace. Say his peace is my peace. Say his peace is my peace. And so Jesus is giving us peace that is not based on how well things go or don't go. He's giving us his peace not based on how good or bad that we are. It's a peace that surpasses all understanding, the Bible says. Romans 10:15, he says, and how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace. This is the piece of armor that we wear on our feet. And really, what you and I should be doing is remaining in the peace of God, living in the peace of God, saturating ourselves with the peace of God, meditating on the Word, realizing that we've been made righteous through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then as we live in that peace, we are taking that peace everywhere we go. He says, have your feet shod. Be sure in the gospel of peace. And so not only something that we have a revelation of, but something that we're sharing everywhere we go, bringing good, glad tidings of good things, it says in the New King James Version. And the question this morning is, am I ready to bring the good news to people who need it? Am I ready to share the gospel in every situation that I am? And the only way we can share it is to get it ourselves. The only way we can share it is to get it ourselves. See, when we're living in his peace, we share it with others. Philippians 4:6, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, say peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through what? Through Christ Jesus. And so it's his peace that keeps our hearts, guards our hearts. And you see here how all the weapons work together. Remember we said we had to have our belt on to keep our spiritual pants up, and the belt also holds all of the other weapons. And so it all works together. We're staying in peace by reminding ourselves that we are righteous through one, Jesus Christ. It goes on and says this in verse 8, Philippians 4. I know we don't have it in our notes, but if we can put that up. I'd actually like to read this in the New Living Translation. The very next verse, we just read verses 6 and 7, but in verse 8, New Living Translation, he says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And so how do we keep the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ? It's by thinking, meditating on the Word of God, thinking on the things that are good and true and perfect and lovely and beautiful, and thinking on the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he has done for us. And that's what keeps us in prayer. That's what keeps us from being anxious. Has anyone ever felt, you know, wake up in the middle of the night and just been in some kind of terror or worried about? How many just worry sometimes at night? Just be honest. Have ever woke up and just had a thought? Maybe it's not even in the middle of the night. Maybe it's in the middle of the day and you just have this thought come out of nowhere. Well, the Bible says to not be anxious, but we can come against fear. We can come against doubt. We can come against things that make us anxious by meditating on the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, by allowing that peace to start to do its perfect work, is what the Bible says. We talked again about that on Wednesday, when we're going through trials, when we're going through life, that it's peace that has peace and patience that have a perfect work in our lives. See, the devil can't stand a Christian that has the peace of God, because A person, a Christian that has the peace of God cannot be shaken. We can go through things and things maybe we don't like. Maybe we can even feel uncomfortable. But when we can't be shaken, listen, the enemy cannot deceive you. He cannot get you off track. He can't get to your heart and start to infect it with things. The devil has no peace, and he wants to disturb our minds and agitate our emotions, making us just like him. See, that's all the devil can do, is deceive us into thinking that we're like him, because he wants us to believe that we're not like Jesus, who has paid the price for us, who has given us his peace, who has made us as righteous as himself. And so the enemy will come in, and he will try to agitate our emotions and make us believe that we're just like the devil. I know some of you are thinking of somebody that you're convinced is just like the devil, but that's not what we're talking about, all right? See, the devil wants us to be restless. He wants us to live restless lives. No peace. Always going over here, going over there, bouncing over here, anxious, trying to manipulate, trying to control. Again, we'll get into some of this when we start to talk about different idols that we have. See, and that's what we'll do sometimes. If there's something that we're really, that is taking our affections and our focuses off of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a sure sign that that's an idol in our lives. And so what we start to do is we start to get anxious because we're trying to protect that very thing, whether it's our environment or our job or a relationship. I don't want to spend too much time on it, but I think you get the idea. And what happens is the enemy will start to try and agitate us and get us anxious. And so we start to lose God's peace. And we may even be controlling a situation or manipulating a situation to make ourselves feel better. But really, that is not the peace that God has for us. The peace that God has for us is way beyond understanding. I'll tell you, everything can be going to hell around us, but we have our peace because our peace is from him. And there's a big difference in that. See, remember, the devil is trying to seek whom he may devour, 1 Peter 5:8. Because really, it's his nature to be moving around, to be agitated, to be disturbing and restless. It says this in Matthew 12:43. Jesus is talking about an unclean spirit. He says, when it goes from a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest and finds none. And so when the devil will come, when a demonic spirit will come and try to steal your peace, what he does is he tries to just get you restless, tries to get you anxious, tries to get you thinking about, well, so-and-so over here is thinking this and such that and this and that and the other thing. And so what we'll do is we'll start to kind of float around and we'll call this person, we'll call that person, we'll get a hold of this person, and we'll do different things because what we're trying to do is trying to control our environment. We're not casting our cares on the Lord, and we're really trusting ourselves. We're not trusting the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 5:7, he says, casting all your care upon him, for he what? For he cares for you. Casting our care upon the Lord. When we learn to cast our care upon the Lord, the devil cannot agitate our mind, will, and emotions. We cast our cares, and we receive his peace. And we need to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ told us that we walk on serpents. That's our gospel shoes. Remember your gospel shoes. Luke 10:19, behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means will hurt you. Amen? See, God wants to lead us by the Holy Spirit through his peace. Sometimes, you know, things may not make sense. There's times I'll pray and I'll think, you know what? This is what I'm sensing the Lord should do in this certain area. Doesn't make sense to my mind, but if I'm sensing God's peace, I'll do that. There's other times where something doesn't make any kind of sense at all. Or did I just say that one? It could be one or the other. It doesn't make sense, or sometimes it could make sense. And I'm thinking, you know, that makes perfect sense, but I'm not feeling peace. Either way, you and I have got to learn how to trust the peace of the Lord. All right, because there's times, it says this in Isaiah 55, that my ways are not your ways, says the Lord of hosts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so my ways are beyond your ways and past finding out. Yet by the Spirit of God, he reveals those things to us. But what he's telling us is that our natural mind cannot really understand the things of the Lord, our carnal nature. We have to walk out of peace. And those of us that have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you know what I'm talking about. There's a difference between up here and something knowing here. You know what I'm talking about? You kind of know in your knower. Does that make sense to you? You know in your knower that things are right. I'm thinking of a time that Trish and I were selling a house. And I can remember the Lord had brought us to a place. We only were there for a couple of years, but we helped the ministry for a couple of years, and the Lord was taking us over really to help in a ministry after that one that ultimately allowed us to really be able to move up here and establish his church. And God's just really blessed our lives through it. But there was a time we were selling a house, and I'll tell you, I didn't feel like we were going to be able to sell this house. In my natural mind, I just didn't feel it. And so we were getting ready to list it, and I will never forget that day. We were just cleaning the house, and we had beautiful wood floors, and we were cleaning the wood floors. And as I'm cleaning the wood floors, I could just start to sense the presence of God. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You just start to get this peace. And I'm telling you, it wasn't. We had that thing listed for 4 days, and it sold with the first person that came through it. And so, see, it's a peace that supersedes understanding. Even though it didn't make sense to me, we'd only been there for a couple of years, didn't think I'd be able to sell it and make any money on it. The market wasn't real good. But, you know, God came through. God came through, and he will come through every time when we learn how to follow that peace. Now, before we dismiss this morning, I want to take us through a little bit of a story. Jesus said this, I leave my peace with you, John 14:27. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts. When Jesus said, I leave my peace with you, it means to bequeath or to give an inheritance. So what he's doing is he's giving us an inheritance of his peace. And the word there is the same word that is used, shalom. Anybody ever hear that word? It means to be well. It means to be healthy. It means to be prosperous. And it also denotes the absence or end of strife, to not be troubled, but to be safe. I'm telling you, that when you think of God's peace, it covers everything that we need so that we do not have to worry. We don't have to be agitated. We don't have to be anxious. And there's a story in 2 Kings chapter 4, and it's a story of a Shunammite woman that Elisha, anybody hear of a prophet named Elisha? He is traveling and as prophets did, and they would travel, and this woman and her husband build a small room for Elisha to stay in when he comes through. And as he's staying there, one of the times he grants her to have a child. She was, the Bible says that she was old, and her husband was old, and they were without a child. And so he grants her, and he says, about a year from now, you will give birth to a son. And she does give birth. But then the Bible tells us this in 2 Kings 4:21. The boy dies as he's working in the field. And this woman goes out in verse 21. It says, and she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God, shut the door upon him or behind him, and went out. Then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the young men and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and come back. Verse 23. And he said, why are you going to him today? Let's stop here for a moment. It's neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And so the boy dies in the field, and what I want us to get here is realize in those days, the word of the Lord came through a prophet. They didn't have the word of God. The Holy Spirit had not been sent as you and I have now. And so the word of the Lord would come through a prophet. They had prophets, priests, kings. We're not going to take time to teach on all that this morning, but the prophet is where the word of God came from. And so what the concept is here is she gets a report that the word that she had, which was to have a son, has now, the devil has come and stolen it by killing her son. Are you with me? And so rather than speak that out of her mouth, she takes the boy, her promise, and puts it in the room where the man of God stayed, which shows us, look, I am going to take whatever my problem is, and I'm going to just wrap the word of God around it. Are you with me? And so she's saying, this is the promise that I had. And so you and I, when we're going through a challenge, when we're going through a time where the enemy tries to come and to steal our peace, we have got to get back to where the Lord Jesus spoke it to us. And we said before, it's so important not only to have the word of God, the written word of God, meditating on that, but also to have the prophetic word, which was the Holy Spirit speaking to us individually. And we only get that through relationships with the Lord, growing that relationship, having relationships with one another, praying for one another, and allowing the Holy Spirit to start to give us a word that's specific for us. And so it's important to have both. But she goes on and she says this in the latter part of 23. She says, it is well. I want you to say, it is well. And then it says, then she saddled a donkey and she said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slacken the pace for me unless I tell you. And so she departed and went to the man of God at Mount Carmel. So what she's doing is she's going to get the man that had the word of God for her. Again, we're seeing she has shut her problem in this room where the word came. She's saying, no, I am not once do you see her say that her son was dead. She says, it is well. It is well. As a matter of fact, her husband says, why are you going? We just read it. Why are you going to the man of God today? It's not a holy day. It's not a feast day. It's not a new moon. Listen, you know, Christianity is more than just going to church on Sundays. Hello, somebody. And so if you're going to live in the peace of God, it's got to be much more than just coming to a service and just listening to the Word of God. We have got to be men and women of God who are getting a revelation of the promises of God, which are yes and amen through Christ Jesus, living and walking in the righteousness that God has given to us, putting on our breastplate of righteousness, protecting our hearts, guarding our hearts, guarding our minds. We'll talk more about that with the next piece of weaponry. But really what we're doing is we're keeping the peace of God, and we're not going to take the lies of the enemy. All right? Chapter 4, verse 28. So she said, as she gets to the man of God, here she's arrived to Elijah, and she says, "Did I not ask a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me?" Every time I read this story, I am just amazed at the way this woman says everything she can to try and communicate her situation without ever saying that my son has died. Because she is walking out her faith. She's saying, don't deceive me. Remember, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to deceive us. Do not deceive me. She's saying, didn't you say you would give me a son? Do not deceive me. Verse 30, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So he arose and followed her. So what she does is, I'm kind of just giving us a few verses. You can read the whole story on your own. She comes there. She says, did I not say, do not deceive me? The Bible says she throws herself at the feet of Elisha. Elisha tells his servant to go and to take his rod and go to the place where the boy was. She says, that's not good enough. I am not going to leave unless you come with me. Listen, so really it shows a way of her sticking to it, worshiping, bowing down at the feet of Elijah, holding on to the promises of God. Remember Ephesians 6, 11 through 14, it says, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Say stand. Say stand therefore. So remember, the battle that we're fighting is something we've got to continue to stand on the promises of God. Verse 32. When Elisha came into the house, there was the child lying dead on his bed. He went in, therefore, shut the door behind the two of them. This is him and the mother of the boy. And he prayed to the Lord. And he went up and he lay on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands. And he stretched himself out on the child, and the flesh of the child became warm. He returned and walked back and forth in the house and again went up and stretched himself out on him. Then the child sneezed seven times, and the child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi, and he said, call the Shunammite woman. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, pick up your son. So she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed to the ground. Then she picked up her son, and she went out. And so you see, because this woman was not going to quit, she wasn't going to take the lie of the enemy that her son was dead. She was going to get back to the word that the Lord had spoken to her. She sees her son raised to life. And so if you need a breakthrough in your life, just sneeze seven times. That's the moral of the story. Not really. Say, why did he sneeze seven times? I don't know. Maybe there's a story in that I just don't know. But the thing I know is if you and I would just believe the word of the Lord and we would continue to guard our hearts, if we would continue to walk in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ, don't let the enemy deceive us into thinking we're not good enough, that we haven't earned it. Praise God, I haven't earned it and I'm not going to keep it. But it's something that God does through his kindness. Remember, it says without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that, first of all, he is, and that what? He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, God is just a rewarder of good things. God loves us. So seek him, stay encouraged in your faith, and don't let go of the promises of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for the word of God that's been sown in these hearts.